for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Thursday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 6th, 2006. Jamie Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on dealing with loneliness.
Do you want me to go ahead and start? Or? Okay. All right. Well, there is.
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to do you like they did me yesterday and the tardy.
I'm a dwindler.
A dwindler. Okay.
Dog man.
Well, first let's pray real quick, okay? Father God, I just thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Lord, I just thank you once again for what you're doing in my life. Father, for the things that you're removing, the things that you're revealing to me. Father, I have learned so much through this conference. Through each speaker that you've used, Lord, you've spoken to my heart. Maybe not everything applied to me, Lord, but the things that I heard that applied to me, I just pull them out and tuck them away, Lord, as a nugget that you're going to bring to fruition in my life. And Father, I thank you for it, for each one of the speakers that's given of themselves and have shared what you've given to them. Father, I pray for the ladies here today. You know each one. You know their hearts. You know each need that might be in them today. So, Father, I pray that as I share, maybe what I talk about today is going to be for them also. So, Father, we just give you praise and we just thank you. You're an awesome God and you love us and you desire to help us, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I do ask that once again you ladies pray for me. I guess I'm still on the team. I didn't strike out completely because Brother Glenn told me this morning I was going to be speaking again this afternoon. So I thought, all right, I'm up to bat again, girls. I know that Nathan shared Saturday night that his what the Lord had spoke to him about one time on a trip about deception and how that it is going to be coming forth. And I believe that my husband is a man of God. I believe that he does hear from God. And so I believe that he's right, that deception is something that we are going to have to become if we haven't already. I feel like that most of us, because we're here, we're aware of what Satan's up to and some of the things that he does, but we know that deception's not anything new. It's something that's been here from the beginning. You know, there was Adam and Eve, and then there was Satan was here. So we know that he's a deceiver from the beginning. He's a liar, and we cannot believe anything that he might try to bring up against us. There's been a lot of pastors that have spoke on this. There's been teachers. There's been a lot of good books written. So probably not anything that I say in here today is going to be of anything new to you, but maybe it will be like some of the things that I've heard this week. I've heard it before, but I have never heard it quite like that. And all of a sudden, a little light bulb went off in my head. Wow, Lord, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. So, okay. The first scripture that I'm going to give you is just a quick one. It's 2 Timothy 3:1, because this is what the Word has to say. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, these evil men not only are going to come in and deceive us, but that's because they've already been deceived. So, we need to be aware of that. Okay, I want to talk this morning about a deception. Y'all gonna have to pray for my tongue. It's getting all tangled up here. Okay, I want to talk about a deception that I have experienced, and through our ministry, we've experienced other women, men, boys and girls, a lot of other people that have been deceived in this way also. But you know me, I always kind of like to go back to the very beginning. So we're going to start in Genesis this morning. Genesis 1:4 says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And then Genesis 1:10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called him seas. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:18 says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So we're going to go on down to Genesis 1:26-27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the first of the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every living creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Anybody notice anything? Okay. Ah, there's the key. Okay, let's jump on to Genesis 2:18. In the second chapter of Genesis, I have to confess to you ladies, I kind of have a hard time with this. I know I've heard different thoughts from different teachers and preachers where they say, well, you know, there was earth once, and then after Satan fell from heaven, he fell to earth, and everything became chaos again, and so God put it all back together. You know, now I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't even profess to. But I know that we go to Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Genesis 2:20-22, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. You know, I'm kind of like Carla. I do a lot of imaginings and visual. You know, I get this, and I can just see Adam. You know, here he is. God says, okay, these animals are going to parade before you, and I get the picture of two, male and female. They're just walking along, and Adam's naming them, you know. And as he's watching, he's thinking, Hey, I'm up here all by myself. Where's my mate, God? You know, where's my mate? Look, there's two cows, male and female. I know they have bulls and cows. What do they call them? Anyway, you get the picture. Okay. So, God, you know. So, then, you know, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, like Brother Ronnie said the other night, ooh, woman. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
And it is definitely biblical with all the scriptures. And they said, if you think about it, a woman was the crown of creation. She was the last thing that God created.
Wow.
That's why we're supposed to be the most beautiful, the most alluring, and the most captivating.
How about that, girls? I can go with that, can't you? Haven't you, Carla? Okay. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But let's think about this. You know, the fall had not happened. Adam was having special communion with God, his creator. But as he watched these animals pass before him, he felt an aloneness for a companion. And without human companion, God said, it's not good. It's not good. So I'm kind of reminded of a little email that I get, or got. I'm not sure that this is exactly how it went, so if you got it too, you can say, well, she, you know, told it a little bit different than what I heard it. But this little boy wakes from a bad dream. And so he calls his mom into the bedroom, and he tells her, he's, Mommy, I'm scared, you know. And she sits down on the bed, and she loves on him, and she reminds him that, didn't he remember that the pastor told him last Sunday that Jesus was going to be with them all the time? You know, that he was never alone. Jesus was always right there with him. And she tucked him back in and says, now you go back to sleep because Jesus is right here with you. Well, she returned to her bed, and in a little bit, the little boy, Mommy, I'm scared, Mommy. So she goes back in there, and she goes through this whole scenario again. She encourages him, you know, says, Jesus is here with you. And he says, well, I know that, Mom, but I need somebody with skin on. So that may be a kind of a foolish thing, but I do think that we need that human touch. We need fellowship with one another. You know, God created us to have fellowship not only with him, but with their, you know, with our fellow man, our husbands, our wives, our children, people in the church, you know, other women. I liked what one of the pastors said. I can't remember exactly who it was, but he was talking about how we split up and come up here for the women's meeting. And, you know, he says, there's just something about women getting together that you can feel more loose. Maybe it was Brother Ronnie talking about women. But, you know, you can. There's just some things that I couldn't go to a man, even a very godly pastor or a real godly man, I couldn't go to him and share some of the things that go on within me emotionally. I need another woman, because I can look at Carla, I can look at Linda, and, you know, just like Linda and I have decided, we're really sisters. You know, we've gone through some of the same things. And so I really identify with her hurts and her pains and her wounds, and she identifies with mine. So we can minister to one another. So I think that we really need that. So the main, I just wanted to kind of touch on this basically to let you know, women, that we were created for a specific purpose, to be a helpmate, okay? God created Eve to fill that void that Adam had, that aloneness that he felt. We're to be a helpmeet. That means to come together, join together. She completed Adam physically. They were built differently, but we all know the scenario. They fit together. They fit together. And what was the first thing God told them to do? Multiply. Multiply. And you know, when the Lord opened that to me, and maybe this is just a Janie thing, but he just spoke to me when I was studying on this and everything, and he says, you know, I have given man and woman the most beautiful gift I could give them, the ability to create another human being, another soul for my kingdom. You know, we're the only, angels can't do this. You know, God has given nothing else the ability to produce souls for him. But it's us. We can do that. And I thought, that's a miracle, Lord. That is such a miracle. And we take it so lightly sometimes. We take this so lightly sometimes. Okay, so we know the story. Eve was deceived, and I think about the fact that he didn't approach Adam, and I'm going to share some of my little things, but I thought, well, of course he didn't. Nathan is so dedicated, you know, he believes the scripture, look neither to the right nor to the left, so of course he couldn't see Satan because he's looking straight ahead, you know. He opens the refrigerator door and he looks straight ahead and he says, where's that, you know? So of course it was Eve that's going to see this guy.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
That's
right. That's right. So, are we going to go a step further and say that Adam kind of failed in his responsibility? Yes, he did. So, boys, that doesn't take the guilt off of you, girls. Okay. But Satan did pervert what God had said, and he used it as a trap. He appealed to the very nature of Eve. You know, as women, we're attracted to beautiful things. I like pretty things. How about you?
Yeah.
You know? And Nathan can go to the store, and if I'm not real careful to watch him, there's no telling what that man's going to come home with to wear, you know? Because he just, you know, I need a new shirt. Me, I like to look at each one. I want to touch it and feel it. And we like beautiful things, things that are pleasant to the eyes. I think we're more emotional and sensitive to the spiritual realm. You know, a lot of people would kind of say, ooh, that's iffy, but if you'll travel around like we do, the majority of the people in the churches we visit, who are they? They're women. Because not only are women trying to repair, you know, in a way, subconsciously maybe, but we think, you know, we really need to, we need to get back to where we were, you know, anyway. So we're more curious. If you don't believe that, and Nathan can go visiting or something, and he comes back, and I say, well, what about their children? Oh, I didn't ask about them. I say, well, how was his wife feeling? Oh, well, I don't know. Was she sick? Well, yes, she was. You know, but we as women, we're more sensitive to to the needs of other people also. You know, if someone has shared something with us, well, then we take it to heart. We're more sensitive to feel that need, I think, sometimes. And I'm not talking about all men. I'm just talking about, okay. So, the tree bore good fruit, one that would give her wisdom. So I don't think that seeking wisdom, it's not a bad thing, but to seek wisdom outside of God's guidance leads to trouble. And Eve got in a lot of trouble, didn't she? Okay, leaving the tree, I think, had they not messed with it, that eventually God would have revealed that tree to them, maybe. Who knows? Maybe it was never supposed to have been. We were never supposed to know what that tree held. But I do think that to seek knowledge outside of God's will is the main sin that Eve committed. She disobeyed God. She turned to Satan and received knowledge from him. In Genesis 3:16, we read, to the woman God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. We have here the sentence of our punishment passed upon woman for her sin of pride and self-gratification. Two things she is condemned to, a state of sorrow. Immediately, I think that Eve sensed a loss. Immediately. When she did, you know, so she went running to Adam, you know, her overseer or her mate, the person that she was supposed to be connected to. I think there was a division at that very moment when she ate of the apple. So she lost that closeness to, not only to God, I'm sure she felt, oh no, you know, I've disobeyed God. And then her closeness to her husband. And because of this, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. How many of you have had to move when you really didn't want to leave that home? I've moved several times that it was heartbreaking to me. You know, I had put a lot of time and effort into those homes, and, you know, for Nathan to change jobs, and I'm the wife, I'm going to follow where he leads me. But there still was a little bit of a loss, you know, and it was a hard thing to reestablish and start all over again. And out of this, Eve gave birth to a murderer. I can imagine that would be a very hard thing to know that your child had taken the life of someone else.
Your other child.
Your other child, especially. Yeah.
Jamie, one,
yes.
Can I interject?
Sure. I want lots of feedback.
Was that the ground was cursed, Satan was cursed, but Eve was not cursed.
No.
And you know,
no.
I wouldn't think they're cursed because of
right, that. Mm-hmm. Right. No, I don't. I appreciate that because that kind of gave me a struggle because I've heard that a lot. You know, this Eve was cursed, and that these are the curses that have been put on us. But it's not a curse. It's punishment for disobedience. You know, it was punishment for her disobedience, I believe. Now, that's... But anyway, the death of a child, I have experienced that, and I can tell you right now, it was one of the awfulest things I ever went through in my life. It was one of those times that had the Lord not been with me, I just couldn't have made it on my own. And up until that point in my life, I thought I knew about death. I had watched a close friend of mine lose a baby, and we had sat together and wept and prayed and cried over that baby, and my heart was so broken with her. But it was nothing compared to what I experienced when I lost my daughter. And I haven't really told a whole lot of people this, but I appreciated the woman this morning. I was so in hope she would be here this afternoon just because I wanted to tell her how much I appreciated her obedience in going forth this morning and just wailing before the Lord, because I had read about, you know, during a death or a mourning, you know, it talked about where they hired people to come and wail and mourn and stuff. And until I lost my daughter, I couldn't quite understand that, you know. But I can remember one day, I just, my heart was so heavy with grief and despair, and I just fell down on the floor before the Lord, and I wailed. I couldn't believe it came from the very pits of my stomach. It was the awfulest wailing and sound I had ever heard in my life. I was just, you know, I was there. It was me, but yet I was sort of outside of myself. I thought, oh, Lord, you know. But when I came up off that floor, girls, that was gone. That grief, that spirit of grief had left me. It had left me. But I can identify with Eve in this respect, because I thought that had to be the most horrible thing she had, you know. And she was a brand new person, you know, brand new baby. She'd not experienced any of the evil of the world or, you know, any things that had ever happened to her. But anyway, so now this one I'm going to throw out, and you guys give me some feedback. Conception. What do you think he was saying to us here? He says, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception. I mean, this is not a trick question, y'all. I'm really serious. I want you to kind of give me some feedback on it.
Multiply sorrow would be that we're going through all these things with our children and everything. And
right.
We have extra sorrow on us at all.
Right.
And the conception, I believe, is that all the ones that we bring and all the ones that we have brought to the world, more conception.
Okay.
We're having more responsibility and we're having more sorrow with what we're going through. We see their
Not only have to bear our sorrow, but our children's sorrow and the things that come into their lives, and even our grandchildren. You know, we're still, because of Eve's sin, she not only brought sorrow into her life, but into her children's lives and into her children's children. You know, the generational thing. Into yours, yes. Oh, okay.
The water just a little bit.
You come right ahead.
I have often wondered if there would have been any children ever born had Adam and Eve not sinned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's set to multiply.
See, I had that same thought, Jane. I really did.
They didn't multiply until after they had sinned. They didn't have any children until after
they sinned
right away.
Well, how do you know
that?
Yes, ma'am, in the back there.
Could it be that their sorrows were multiplied so much because maybe the woman would not have been a 12-month thing?
Of what?
It would be something more like the animals are sick,
right.
So that
she didn't
have to worry about conception all the time.
Right. Right.
That would be
right.
Fine.
Okay. Yeah, that would work. That would work.
A lot of women that month in lower heaven. A lot of people can't stand it. And could you imagine if it's just twice a year and then all the time you have to worry about it?
Okay. Of course, now I'm using King James, okay? But in chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Then in verse 28 it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth.
Replenish.
Replenish.
Now, what happened to the previous? Replenish.
I didn't know I was going to open this game.
So what did it say about the sorrows and conception of a woman?
Okay, I think that's the one I was using for my text here, because I am in King James. Yeah, and it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you, over thee. King James.
Going up, any other version?
Have you got a different version?
No, go ahead.
Well, I said, it's very, you fall in righteousness in the childbirth, and we know that.
Uh-huh.
So he was sparing us at that time, but he said greatly multiply.
Yes.
To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your grief and your suffering in pregnancy and the pain of childbearing, and with spasms of distress you will bring forth children. Yet your desire and craving will be for your husband.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, even though it was really painful and everything, you go back. That desire is still there. I mean, I didn't have pain with my childbirth, but no. Even though you have, I used to think before I got pregnant, I'd see these people in the grocery store with an infant, and out to here, I'm thinking, well, it can't be that pain. I see your pain.
Okay, what's Faith's version say about it?
What verse are you reading?
I'm using King James.
Oh,
yeah, 3:16. I'm sorry.
All right, I've got another verse. And it says, and he said to the woman, I will increase your trouble with
pregnancy,
and your pain in giving birth.
In
spite of this, you will still have a desire to have.
There you go.
Ah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Both of us.
Sorrow
down to
childbearing.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't include all the sorrows that we have. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is interesting to know what conception
is. Right. Right.
Do you have your zodiac?
Does the word,
is there a number for conception?
Shall we move on, or anybody else got any other thoughts? But really, Genesis 1. And then Genesis 1 again. I mean, you know, where it goes from chapter 1 to chapter 2. To me, it's like you're reading along, and then here comes chapter 2, and it gives you a little more insight into what chapter 1 said. It reveals a little bit more of it. It's more like an interaction with God and His new formed creations. But we will move on here. I did want to say that I had made this little note. It says, your desire for Him. I think it's that inner longing in us that we want that closeness back that had been severed because of the sin. There was a separation there. I think that it says, and it says that... let me get it here. I think that we need a little bit more assurance than men do. Now, I know there's some men that, you know, they've got maybe some identity problems or self-worth problems or something, and so they're always wanting assurance that you love them, that you care for them and stuff. But I think that most of the time that's a woman thing. Women want to be assured that they're loved, that they're desirable to your husband. You don't ever want to feel like that he's not seeking after you or, you know, that type of thing. So I do think that this desire is just part of it that happened because we knew that there's something missing because we're not where God intended for us to be.
And also in Him, because the man has a harder time reaching that intimate
yes.
thing. It's more a physical thing.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, where ours is more emotional. It's within us, you know, we want that emotional attachment. We want to feel more.
It's almost like they had the whole thing. And then when the separation came, we got part of it, and they got part of it.
Right, and we're still trying to get it back together. That's it. Okay. To back that up, Carla, I'm going to read this scripture. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, he didn't separate them. Eve separated them when she took the apple. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So out of Eve's disappointment, not only was she separated from God, but a split was caused between her and Adam. Adam was placed in the position of being the head of the union, to be the one that was to be the provider. So ladies, like it or not, that's the way it is. And I think that a lot of suffering has been brought into women's lives because of the enemies telling them to fight against what God placed down as judgment on Eve. Like I say, because of her disobedience, we're still having to deal with it. And I think that out of this disobedience, out of this rebellion, there's a lot of women that they get off into a lot of stuff. I think that's partly maybe where the women's liberation thing has come from, is that they don't want to conform to their place, their where they're supposed to be. And I think that out of this rebellion has come free sex. You know, if it's good enough for the man, it's good enough for me. You know, I'll just get out and do just what I want to do. I'm not going to conform to the fact that I'm supposed to be a mother, a nurturer. You know, I'm supposed to be chaste. I'm supposed to be pure and holy. You know, we rebel against that because Satan keeps whispering in our ear that, hey, you don't have to do that, just like he did Eve. He told her, you know, did God really say that? He places doubt in us, and he makes us question where we're supposed to be. I think that like Eve, we have an adversary, and just as he found her weakness, he's looking for yours. I can't remember who all has preached and what particular message, but that's what I say. There was things that just really came home to me. But he said there's a chink in the armor. You know, there's a little spot. Oh, the guy in the tent, Chris, wasn't it? He talked about the mosquitoes, how they would find that one spot to find. So I think that that's what our adversary, Satan, is looking for, is that one weakness that you have. Well, yes. But today we want to talk about just this one open door. We just want to talk about this one. This one little weakness that I feel like is a real problem with women. I say women. I assume that everybody's kind of like me. Now, this was a big problem with me. How about that? This was my door that I opened. So if you identify with it, I hope that somehow or another this will minister to you. But in Samuel, he talks to Saul, and he tells him. He said, I think, even Nathan mentioned this one again last night. He says, because of rebellion, it's a sin of witchcraft. And that means the act of seeking knowledge from black magic or sorcery or any other source other than God. Well, who was Eve getting her information from?
That's right.
Okay? So she disobeyed. It was out of rebellion. And that's where she was drawing her information.
Can I
sit
up there?
Yes, please.
As I remember in studying, or maybe I heard it preached somewhere too, it's interesting because when God gave Adam that command about the tree, he had not yet been created. Mm-hmm. And what he said to Adam was, "You shall not eat of the tree."
Right.
He didn't say anything about touching it.
Right.
So either Adam embellished that, or she embellished it. And mm-hmm. that's part of, you know...
The perversion that came in.
The problem out there. Mm-hmm. But, as a woman, you can get real angry at the man because he was sitting right there by her. Why did he not protect her?
Why did he not tell her?
I mean, why didn't he just say, "What are you doing, woman?" You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then, of course, then the single woman issue comes in. It's like, well, am I a half then instead of a whole? Because mm-hmm. I don't have a husband's desire, and you might desire to have one, but, you know, it's the helping. Who am I supposed to be helping? You know, I mean, that's an issue, too, because I'm single, and mm-hmm. she's single, and there may be some other singles in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and I don't feel like I should be under a curse because I don't have a husband.
No, that's a curse. But see, it's like Eve, where was it, dropping my phone?
It'll come back.
Oh, it's like we all, I wanted to blame Eve for my sorrow in conception, my pregnancy, the pain that I was facing.
Well, now I've never had a baby.
I know, but still, you still are suffering the effect of what took place in the garden. I wanted to punch Eve in the nose because it was her fault. But God quickly said, "And what would you have done had you been?"
Yes.
Now we all become Eve. Mm-hmm. We all become Eve. And mm-hmm. and now we're just stuck with the consequence of that. It's not what has happened, it's what needs to happen.
Right. Well, it's just like, talk about consequences. You know, there's, God has set in motion laws. And when we break those laws, it's just, and I hate to use this illustration, but it's just the first thing that popped into my mind. But, you know, you teach your daughters, do not go out and have premarital sex. You know, this is against God's law. Do not do this. Okay? Then your little daughter goes out, she sleeps around, and she comes home pregnant. So now, whose fault is this? It's hers, yes, but it's also a part of this because, you know, out of rebellion, out of breaking the law, there are consequences to be handled, to be experienced. You know, we're going to have to suffer the consequences. And just like Eve, you know, and it's just like Adam. You know, the word says that we all died because of Adam's sin, right? Out of the loins of Adam came all of us. And it says that we died spiritually. Now, do we want to go? I want to go back and hit Adam in the face.
Yeah.
You know? You stop and think about it. But we can't go back and say, "God, you messed up. This is not the way it ought to be. Because I'm single, I'm not married, I've never had children, you know, I shouldn't be suffering these things of Eve's, right?"
Mm-hmm. So we all have.
But we all, you know. Right. Yes, please.
You know, I know that we're dealing with the issues of what we're dealing with, but the bottom line was, she believed a lie.
Yes.
And that affects all of us.
That's right.
That affects all of us.
That's right.
Because that's what the enemy wants to continue to cause us to do.
Yes.
Is to take the
truth
twist
it,
and make it to be the truth, even though
it is a lie.
And the bottom line is, we are not believing
the truth. That's right. Absolutely.
And that's why we need to rightly divide the word
of truth.
Because enemy uses truth.
Yes,
that's right. That's right. That's right.
It's not the minister.
Right.
Death.
Absolutely.
So husband, wives, married, single, divorce, whatever.
It's the truth of the word that's right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. I appreciate that. Yes.
And I think the problem is we try to reverse the curse on our own. You know, we're trying to live in our own life apart from God. And the only way to get eternal life and reverse that curse is through Jesus.
Amen.
And it's the same with the women.
That's right.
You know, in Christ there is no male and female.
Right.
And that curse is reversed. The problem is we pull it
down. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Amen.
I wish I could say that.
Well, of course, I was not walking with the Lord when I had my children. So I really, you know, I did suffer. Not badly. I mean, you know, I've heard some really horror stories. But, you know, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I can remember during childbirth. Because, like I say, I was saved at 12, but I was not really serving the Lord and obeying His word. I was not. And I can remember crying out to Him in childbirth, you know, because I knew that was He was going to be the one that was going to help me through it. And I don't know, you know, so I can't speak from experience. Now, Carla can. She can say, well, because I was in obedience to God, and I did not suffer.
It wasn't really that I was in obedience to God. It was just the Word coming up and reminding me that curse was broken through the shed blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that knowledge, just that knowledge freed me from the pain.
Right.
I wasn't expecting to have painless childbirth. I was shocked that there was no pain.
Praise the Lord.
Expect. He said that he's already suffered it, so I shouldn't have to. And then I was excited about having the baby.
That's great. Well, let's move on. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Notice it doesn't say an adversary or the adversary, but it says your adversary, using the same tactics that he used on Eve. Satan did tempt her. She was deceived. And it was through disobeying God that he was able to enter into their lives. Now, Satan perverts our need for human companionship, and through disobedience, we too open up ourselves to the demonic activity and attachments in our lives. Have you, out of loneliness, gone against God's plan for your life? I think all of us have. You know, to stop that feeling, we've done a lot of things. Mother Teresa said, loneliness is modern-day leprosy, and people don't want others to know they are lepers. And out of loneliness, some of us have collected a lot of baggage. I know I've talked to women that out of loneliness, their husbands were very neglectful. Maybe some of them just worked a lot of long hours. Maybe they enjoyed spending time with their friends, doing their hobbies, things like that. But out of loneliness, these women have been seduced into outside affairs. There's been, Satan has sent someone that has sensed that. Do you know that Satan, when he walks about, he says he's walking about, seeking whom he can devour. And so as he goes about, if you're filled with loneliness, he senses that and he knows that you're going through this. So what's he going to do? He's going to send Mr. Handsome. He's going to send that man that's going to stroke you, the charmer. He's going to just fill you full of all kinds of wonderful things. He's going to promise you the moon, whatever, and then he's going to seduce you into adultery. And out of adultery, we know, comes divorce a lot of times. So, out of loneliness, because of the death of your spouse, maybe, you're so lonely without your husband that the first fellow that comes along and appears to be the person that maybe you want to spend the rest of your life with. We ministered to a young woman down around Houston, Texas, that she had lost her husband. She was a relatively young woman, about 40-ish. And immediately in her church, there was this young man appeared, and he was just wonderful. All of her family loved him. They just thought he was Mr. Wonderful. So she jumped up and married him just to feel this loneliness. She says, I really don't think that I loved him. I was just so lonely. And so she had a nice home. Her husband had left her relatively well off. And before you know it, Mr. Wonderful was laid up in the bed. Didn't want to work, didn't want to serve the Lord, didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to live off what her previous husband had left her. Some of you may have never had a husband, never met a mate yet. And I think that, you know, maybe someday you will meet that person. But if you don't, God has a place for you in His kingdom. You know, He talks a lot about the widows and the orphans and how we're to serve them and minister to them. And it says the older women, you know, if they've already lost their husband, they've already had their children, you know, they're to bring wisdom to the younger. You're to get in a church and minister to the younger women. You're to help instruct them in the ways of the Lord. So you don't need to be lonely. You know, the Word says that to have friends, we must be friendly. So if you want to sit off in your house in darkness and loneliness, then you're not going to have a whole lot of friends, are you? And that need is not going to be ministered to. But I would suggest that if you're lonely, then you need to get in a good church. You need to start serving the Lord. And He sees your heart. He knows the things that are in your heart, the things that you desire. He tells us He's going to meet those needs and those desires. So, yes.
Speaking about desires and maybe never having been married, I'm thinking that part about your desire being for your husband.
Right.
Hollywood has really gone off the deep end with where they've fed this fairy tale about young girls, and they have this desire for a husband built up in them. And then when they don't meet him right away, then that loneliness kicks in, and they just marry some Joe Schmo on the street because they're just so needing a husband. They haven't submitted that desire to the Lord.
Right.
And when the Lord comes in and sets you free from that curse, you don't end up short circuiting.
And look at all the people that have turned to television and soap operas. Now, when I was young, we used to read the true romance. But I mean, there's no such thing, you know, it's all on television now. How many of them get the mistaken idea that this is what love is? This is what a home and a marriage is.
Well, and going a step further as far as the television and movies and things like that, if you noticed, I can remember, because I'm old, probably the oldest one in here, but anyway, I can remember that, yes, I read the little romance books too. You know, that was my escapism. You know, I read a lot because that would take me out of the, you know, out of reality, out of the pain, out of the loneliness, you know. So I would read these books and I would envision, you know, that they're, you know, this is going to happen to me, you know, this is Mr. Wonderful. But anyway, I do think that television and movies, you know, if you'll notice, they have gone so much further and perverted what true love really is, what companionship really is. They've perverted it into a sex thing, you know. It's how good you look, how large your bust are, how you know, and they just, they flash the women's bodies, you know. It's really disgusting, and I think that we should, you know, not only pray about it, but when we have the opportunity, take action against it. I worked with AFA for a long time, you know, trying to change some of the things that were going on in our town, you know, some of the movies they were coming out with. And if you have the opportunity, get to work. Try to stop some of this stuff, because we don't want Satan to just have an open door to pervert what God made for good, just like this lady said here, that it was good. I think that out of this need to not be alone, I was just going to tell y'all that I was a very timid, I was cowardly, a very cautious person, but I can remember, you know, just a few of the things that I did. I climbed a water tower, girls, because I wanted to be part of the crowd, and that's what the crowd was going to do that night. And do you think I was going to say, no, no? I just went right along with them. And every step of the way, you know, my heart saying, get down from here, girl, get down from here, you know. But I didn't want to be the one that was the coward, the quitter, you know. I also snuck into the city swimming pool one night in my underwear. Yeah, I did. I was almost skinny, but I did. Well, the sad thing was, is when I dove in the water, all the anyway. I remember one night the gang wanted to go steal toilet paper out of the, you know, filling stations. And so we'd stop at all these different filling stations all over town. We gathered up all the toilet paper, and then we took it and we just put it all over Main Street. Everywhere we could wrap it around. You know, we had parking meters in those days, and boy, we just had a time.
Peer pressure.
But see, I was lonely. I was kind of a unaccepted kid, you know. I didn't have anything to offer, it didn't seem like at that time, that anybody wanted to be around me or with me or anything. So I just did a lot of stuff to keep from being lonely. At one point in my life, I, even though my dad was an alcoholic, he drank a lot, girls. But anyway, I also drank a lot, because that was the way to be accepted by the crowd. I'll never forget the night that my mother found me so sick with my head in the commode, and the hurt and the pain that came into that woman's eye just broke my heart. And I promised her, I said, Mom, I'll never do it again. And I didn't. And I think sometimes, I guess, like I was telling Nathan, I said, you know, I guess that was the easy part for me to identify, because, like I say, I didn't have a good father image. And so when I started having children, I began to realize the mother image, you know, because I had such a love for my children. And I thought about the times that I had hurt my mom, especially the time when she found out I'd been drinking. And I thought, that's how God feels. That's how the Lord feels. You know, His heart is so broken when we choose to disobey and go and do things that He asks us not to. He's so brokenhearted at times, I feel like. But he's so faithful to forgive us and love us, just like my mom forgave me. So, I think out of being lonely, there's a lot of immorality comes along. We accept the counterfeit. A lot of women out of loneliness have accepted men into their lives. They've even found themselves to be pregnant. And out of desperation, they've committed abortion. You know, that's another tool of Satan's. He wants to bring us to that point that we don't know that we have another source to go to. I think sexual identity, you know, we're beginning to see so much of the homosexual and lesbian situations coming to pass that I think it's out of loneliness. You know, you have these little kids that they're not accepted in school, and Satan sends someone to begin to nurture them and to lead them into this lifestyle. And they go off to college, and they've never maybe been alone in their lives. You know, they've not ever been separated from their family, their churches, their loved ones. And so he sends those kind of people to begin to nurture them and love them and minister to them. And pretty soon they're off into sexual perversion. And I think the list could go on, but I think we've all experienced loneliness at times, and many of us have done things to make it go away. And this allows demonic activity in our lives. Satan is the accuser, and he comes and he reminds us of all those things that we've done. When the Lord begins to woo us and to draw us, then Satan's right there. Ooh, but what about this and what about that? He reminds us of all those failures, and he wants to keep us shame-filled and guilty, so that anything that we want to try to do, if we want to try to accept the Lord, then he's there with that shame to knock us back, to try to keep us from joining up with the Lord. But Jesus wants us free, doesn't he? In 2 Timothy 3, 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days," I thought Brother Humbard brought a really good message this morning. I was really touched by that, because he pointed out that we are in the last days. And these days that they're talking about in Timothy, they're here.
They're here.
They're here. We are experiences. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness." Help me, somebody.
Covetous.
Say it.
Covetous.
Okay. boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's look at verse 6. It says, in the end times, these people, they're filled with evil spirits. Because all of these things that they listed above, how they're going to be disobedient to parents, how they're going to have unnatural affection, the false accusers, despisers of those that are good, they're filled with evil spirits. And they're coming for any of us that are loaded down with unconfessed sin. He says, if we have unforgiveness, they're coming for us, ladies. I think there's a lot of women that out of loneliness, they're running around to all these different meetings. I think it was Chris called them bunnies, hopping from here to there. Well, we were at a meeting one time, and every night these same ladies came, and they just sat there, and I thought, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And he says, they're spiritual butterflies, Jamie. They're spiritual butterflies. They were just flitting here and there. But they weren't really, you know, their ears were not really open. Their eyes were not open. They were not really retaining the spiritual knowledge that they were gaining. They were just flitting around, you know. So I think that there's a lot of women out there that are doing that. They're listening to flattering words. You know, when we were in the church, we had a lot of people that would come, and especially those that came with a word of prophecy, or, you know, they gave words of knowledge and stuff. These people would flock in by the groves, and they would, you know, every meeting they were right up at the front, they were laid out in the Spirit, and, you know, but we didn't see any fruit from that. You know, these people would drift right off to the next church that was having a big meeting. They really didn't gain anything. So they were looking for flattering words. They were listening to false reasoning. And these false reasonings that you come across with some of these teachers, they're going to question and pervert God's word. They're going to cause doubt to rise up in you. You're going to begin, you know, not only are they going to question God's word, but they're going to present it to you. It's going to bring more doubt into you, and then you're going to begin to question God's word. They're going to promise you a lot of stuff that God's word hasn't. Mm-hmm. They're going to prosper. Prosperity is the thing that, but God wants us in His word. And I've copied this, or took it out of a little booklet. It's a little devotional that I have at home. And it says, we cannot escape being taught doctrine somewhere. It says, if we will not receive true doctrine from God's word, we will inevitably become indoctrinated with the world's humanistic deception. For these impinge upon our thinking continually, from the classroom and the journal and television, and unfortunately even sometimes from the pulpit. We know that the truth, and he used John 8:32, says, when we know the truth, and this is just Janie's paraphrase of what John 8:31-32, it says, Jesus told those that believed on him to continue in his word, be his disciples, and know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I think we've heard several here during this time that have quoted that same scripture. So, I guess what I'm up here to say today is that I, out of loneliness, allowed a lot of demonic activity into my life. And I let these evil spirits tell me for many years, who do you think you are? You can't be a preacher's wife. How dare he go and be a preacher? You know, you're not worthy of that. You know, I had in my mind this pious, spiritual woman, you know. I'd been to church. I knew how the preacher's wives were. You know, they loved all these people, and they were always working in the church. And I just, you know, and for years I didn't tell people that my husband was a pastor to confess that, but it's true. I didn't, you know. And I even, one time when I was getting a little braver about it, you know, well, I had been visiting with this lady that I worked in a bank, and she used to come in, and she had a very wayward daughter, and she was always pouring out, you know, her hurts and her disappointments in this daughter to me. And I would just minister to her the best I could, and I'd tell her, you know, well, I'm going to be praying for you and everything. And I remember one day she came in the bank, and she was so angry. So angry. She marched up to my station and she says, "How dare you not tell me that your husband was a pastor?" I said, "Michelle, should that make, I mean, I don't understand." She says, I told you all my secrets, all my, you know, and it really hurt me. I just thought, Lord, is that how people feel about, you know, pastors' wives? So, you know, it put me back a little ways. I had to really work through that because I could not imagine her being so angry at me, because all I had done was try to show compassion and love her and pray for her. I did pray for her and this daughter. And I hope that all of their differences have been resolved over the years. But the main thing is that we do not want to be deceived. And if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, and you're a blood-washed, born-again believer in Him, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the areas in your life that are still being manipulated by demonic activity. They are using shame and guilt to paralyze you. You're hiding from God, just like Adam and Eve, and you need to, you know, if you've received the Holy Spirit, someone explained it to me like, He's taken a flashlight. Once He enters into you, He's taking a flashlight and He's beginning to shine the light of God upon all these inner things within you. So allow Him to do it. And once He reveals something to you, confess it. Get it out. You know, ask for His forgiveness. Okay? Because He wants the best for you. Jesus said in Luke 4:18-19, this is what Jesus' ministry is. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I'd like to pray now, okay? Father, I just thank You. I thank You that You did send Jesus to tend to our broken hearts, Lord, to set us free from all the demonic activity that's been going on in our lives, Father. For all those times that we open the door unknowingly, maybe, Father, sometimes just out of direct disobedience to Your word, we've opened the door and allowed them to come in. So, Father, You said that You've come to set us free. So we just thank You, Lord, for what You've revealed to us today. We thank You for showing us Satan's lies and his tricks, how he perverts Your word, how he uses those things that You placed within us, that need for human companionship. Father, how he's used it as a trap to enter into our lives. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I'd like, as you're still in an attitude of prayer, I'd like for you to search your hearts, maybe, and just think back on some of the times that maybe you've allowed, you know, out of loneliness, we've allowed the activities to come in, and maybe out of loneliness, because we were so lonely, we envied other people. Maybe we lusted after their personalities, their ability to be close with other people when we were standing out there alone. The demon that came in and said, "Well, it's because you're so ugly, you're so unlovely." So, Father, right now, with the authority of Jesus, Lord, we just take authority over those things. And Satan, we just tell you right now that we've read the Word. We know where you came from. We know who you are. And we take authority over those areas that you've entered in through loneliness. We just cast them out. Any feeling that has entered in because of this. Father, that feeling of self-hatred, we cast it out. That spirit of lust that entered in because of relationships that we walked into out of loneliness, we cast you out. We just take authority over these. Thank you. Father, I just want to ask a blessing over these ladies. I want you to give them assurance now that you have provided a way for them to feel this need of loneliness, this feeling that they need someone to help them through the lonely times. And Father, I just pray that you would provide another human being. Lord, we know that you're our source, that you're that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, you said that if we would serve you, obey you, that you would be our friend. So, Father, I just thank you today for these ladies. I pray for each one of them. Lord, you know their hearts. You know their need. And so, Father, I just pray that you minister to them. And, Father, I just ask your forgiveness if I've said or done anything that has been offensive to your word, offensive to these ladies, that would hinder them in any way in drawing closer to you. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.